This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Gwen and Chris. We roll into hour number two of the talk show here today. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Seattle. Padres will take on the Mariners a little later this evening. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Scoreboard update for the Padre fans that are keeping track. No help today. The Mets were getting no hit until the ninth inning in Toronto. Young Bowden Francis was going for the no-hitter, the rookie. Francisco Lindor homered to lead off the ninth, tied the game. Mets scored five more, and they go on to win 6-2. So the Mets keep the pressure on. The Diamondbacks keep the pressure on. Last check, they were leading Texas, and they still are 12-4.
Oh, man.
In the bottom of the seventh inning. So I would think the Diamondbacks are going to win that game. So the only other, you know, help you might get is with the Braves. They play at Washington a little bit later, 3:45 start. Of course, Padres at 6:40 tonight in Seattle. But the win last night did keep the Padres comfortable for the moment. 2.5 games up on the Mets and Braves. Heading into play tonight, it was a historic evening for the Padres. Manny Machado hit his 164th Padre home run, a new franchise record, passing Nate Colbert. You know, the interesting thing to me about that is that it is a really long-standing record. And I'd have to get our old friend Bill Center on this. But Nate Colbert played for the original Padres, right? 1969. He was on that club. And let me just make sure before I go too far into this, because it was a long time ago. But Nate Colbert in 1969 for the Padres hit 24 home runs. My point is, at the end of the 1969 season, he was already the top home run hitter in Padre history, right? After the first season.
So he's kind of always held it?
Exactly. That's my point. He's always been the home run leader.
That's kind of fun.
Since the very first season of Padre baseball. He hit 24 that year. He hit 38 the next year. And for anybody that ever saw Qualcomm Stadium or then Jack Murphy Stadium or then, I guess it was then San Diego Stadium, I didn't see it. And so I know you didn't see it, Scraby.
Oh, yeah, I was busy that day.
Yeah. San Diego Stadium, when it was first constructed for baseball, they did not have an inner wall. You know where Garvey's home run went over right center field? Yeah. There was that little fence there. Yeah. It went when Nate Colbert hit his 38 home runs, there was no inner wall. You had to hit it up over the 20-foot-high wall that surrounded that stadium, and the distance on those home runs had to be astronomical
to get it up and over
to get it up there. So Nate had a, you know, pretty powerful swing. So yeah, he was the leader from day one, practically, you know, the all-time Padre home run leader. And last night that lead changed hands.
In the Big Five, I'm going to ask you a question about where Manny Machado stands among Padres, the great Padres of all time.
Yeah, you know, it'll be okay. I think it's interesting because Manny's moving up. He's moving up. And it's funny because I still get the sense, like, okay, Manny's been with the Padres for what, 8 years now?
No.
How many?
Like five.
Hang on.
2018, 2019, maybe?
How many years has he been here?
What I mean, he did this really quick.
All right, you're right. This is his sixth year.
Okay. But he set the home run record real quick.
Yes, he did. He hit more home runs in 6 years with the Padres than he hit in 7 years at Baltimore. But after 6 years, Tony Gwynn Sr. was 1,000% beloved here. After six seasons, Jake Peavy, Randy Jones, I'm going back, Dave Winfield. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to name all-time great Padres, and I'm, you know, I don't want to leave out Caminiti, Finley, whoever. They were all pretty well beloved. I've always felt Manny in this town, although beloved, there's a certain segment here that has never really fallen in love with Manny. The people that complain that he doesn't hustle. The people that, you know, I don't want to say they don't like his attitude, but Manny has a little bit. He's my Machado, my Chado, so I can say this. He has a little bit of an arrogance to him, you know, when he talks.
I don't think he means it.
I'm not trying to attach a negativity to it.
Yes, I know.
I think it's an arrogant confidence. You know, Manny goes 0 for 10, and you ask him, and he says, I'm still Manny. It's going to be fine. I'm going to hit.
Manny bleeping Machado.
Right. And I think... You know, I think that actually rubs some people the wrong way. I'm saying it today when everyone loves him at the moment. But if you go back to April and May of this year, I would have got a lot more support on this. Manny Machado, I don't think, is 100% yet universally loved here. Despite the fact that he probably already, with 5 or 6 years left on his contract, deserves to be mentioned right up there with the great Padres of all time.
I know exactly what you're saying. I think social media has amplified those people.
Maybe.
Because it's out there for everyone to see. And when people have those poor takes, in my opinion, then they get retweeted. So it seems like there's a lot of people out there.
Right.
Everybody I talk to, 99% of the people say
love Manny. You gotta love
But
Manny.
I know what you're saying because I see it. I see all the people.
Yeah.
And I even tweeted myself like, hey, Manny went yard. That's one for the Manny haters kind of thing.
Yeah, there are Manny haters. I feel like there are. He doesn't get booed at his home ballpark. He gets booed on the road a lot.
A lot.
Which is something that Tony's dad never dealt with. So, you know, Manny's a bit of a polarizing guy. A bit of a polarizing guy,
yeah.
But he's our guy right now. And, man, has he been he's been on point. Fernando's home run was huge last night, and I was happy to see it because I got in his case a little bit yesterday.
You said, how is he going to get going?
Well, I said, it's time to get going, Fernando. He answered the bell. And more important than those home runs and RBIs and everything was Yu Darvish pitching 5 solid innings. When you're going forward with the playing out the rest of the season into the playoffs, having a Yu Darvish that can get people out for 5 or 6 innings is going to be more important than almost anything that happened last night.
It's going to be huge. And he stayed out of the big home run. Like, he gave up some home runs.
He gave a couple solos.
Solo shots. That's fine. He kept him in the game. Everything worked out for him last night.
No, Darvish was good. Suarez, you know, quieted any nerves that people might have about him. All in all, it was really a good night for the Padres, and we'll see if they can get another one tonight. All right, let's find out what else is going on, Scraby. Hour number two of the program, Daily Gambit time.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please gamble responsibly. Chris, I have Padres roster moves that just hit my phone. Mm-hmm. One name on there that you are going to know heading to El Paso.
El Paso?
Can you guess who is heading to El Paso?
Campusano.
Campusano is headed to El Paso. Other moves, they recalled Tom Cosgrove and outfielder Brandon Lockridge from El Paso, placed Martin Perez on the paternity list, and option catcher Luis Campusano to El Paso.
Wow. Campusano's season, you know, despite me fighting for it as much as I can, You know, I think it was Woodsy said, it's not sports friends. It's sports business.
It is.
And we can't, you know, that's just the way it goes.
I mean,
Camposano has not done what they need.
No.
So Diaz is the guy now moving forward, gone with Higashioka, at least for the moment.
If you can't really even be a good defensive catcher, right? And I'm not saying he's terrible, but he has made some pretty bad mistakes here lately. It's going to cost you.
It's been a rough go. It's been a rough go for Luis, and wish him the best, and I hope he gets it back together, because a good Luis Camposano would be beneficial to this club.
So we got Kyle Higashioka now, and I think it's Elias.
Elias. It's a lot of ways.
Diaz.
I've heard it. Elias Diaz, Elias Diaz.
I'm just going to go Mr. Diaz.
Yeah, Diaz.
He is now the other catcher on the All roster.
Right. So interesting move, though. Interesting move. Camposano to the minors.
We're going to be looking out for the lineup as soon as possible. All right, bets from last night. We bet the Dodgers and the Cubs. The Dodgers were a 1.5 run favorite on the run line. Both Chris and I chose the Cubs. Both of us were correct. The Cubs won big. They also have a chance to sweep the Dodgers today. So let's cheer for the Cubs, everybody.
The Cubs are trying to get the Padres back in the hunt.
Yes.
In the race for the division. Dodgers had a lead in this game. Yamamoto, in his return, 4 innings, struck out 8. So they were very excited about Yamamoto's return.
That was pretty good.
But the Dodger bullpen crapped the bed in the 8th inning.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't expect
I didn't
to
either.
Say that.
I didn't really either.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they kind of let it go. They gave up 5 in the 8th off the Dodger bullpen, which is not good.
No.
I'm telling you, the Dodgers are the best team. They got the best record. They got all of this. But they got a lot of problems, man. They have no healthy starting pitching, and their bullpen stinks. They're going to have to overcome that again in the postseason. You know, I'm sorry, Dodger fans, but the truth hurts.
Where does pitching mean the most? Where is pitching? Never mind. I was basically going to say the playoffs is where your bad pitching gets exposed.
Now, having a shaky bullpen can really hurt in the postseason. I'm just saying.
I like how Chris says. Okay. You, Darvish, George Kirby, who had more strikeouts? You chose Kirby. I chose Darvish. Now, I did say George Kirby is a low strikeout guy with lots of earned runs given up, and he did do that last night. You, Darvish, had 5. He had 4, so I win that one.
You won that one.
Yeah,
I didn't think Darvish would last long enough, but God love him. He did.
The Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. Minus 10 over the Wings last night. You chose Liberty. I chose Wings. Liberty won by 14, 105-91. Collier for the Las Vegas Aces, over under 20.5 points in the game last night. Chris said over, I said under. 14 points, so I win that one.
Collier did not come through.
Not come through at all.
You were 3-1, I was 2-2 last night. Was leads us both 7-3 for the week. That's very good, would you not say?
Yeah, it was really good.
700 winning percentage for you and I at this
moment.
I was just
looking at a comment about what you just said about the bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was probably
No, it was funny.
That was pushing the envelope a little bit.
People are laughing.
All right, we both 7-3. So here we go into tonight's predictions. Padres, Mariners, over under 7 runs tonight.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Well, they did go, 10 last night?
They, 7-3 last night. 10 run.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over.
Yep.
7 is really not very many runs for a baseball game. Michael King's been good.
Yep.
Brian Wu, I already talked about this guy. He's walked 9 guys all year. That's
pretty good.
In 99 innings.
That's pretty good.
So you better be ready to swing the bat against this guy.
So are you saying over?
Whew. It's a tough one. I'm going to say under.
Under.
Padres squeak one out 4-2.
All right.
Who pitches more innings tonight? Michael King or Brian Wu? Who lasts longer in this game? Is your question.
I'm going to go King. He usually goes at least 6.
King?
6, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go King.
King. I'm going with Wu because he doesn't throw a lot of pitches. He doesn't walk anybody.
Okay.
They hit the ball. Blake Snell's pitching tonight, our old friend. San Francisco against the Brew Crew. 7.5 strikeouts for Blake. Yeah, this is risky, because if you bet him to go over, which, you know, I think most of us would probably do in this situation, if you bet him to go over, last game he only lasted 1 inning.
Yeah. Messed up the entire bullpen.
Messed everything up. I'll go over. Blake bounces back.
Yeah, I'm going to go over, too.
Over. 7.5
He can strike out 8 guys in his sleep.
Oh, easily. And it, yeah. You know, when he's just... He's a difficult guy to get a read on. Let's be 100% honest about all that.
It's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's a very good way.
We love you, Blake, but you're a difficult guy to get a handle on.
It's like one day he's focused, strikes out 15.
Oh, yeah.
Next day he
looks
goes
unreadable, unhittable.
Yeah.
Next time he's, you know,
he's playing video games.
He's in the clubhouse
somewhere.
Playing video games in the second inning. You're like with a towel over his head. All right, big one in the WNBA tonight. Kind of a marquee-type matchup. Two-time champion Las Vegas Aces at Indiana to take on Caitlin and the FIVA. Aces are favored by 4.5 on the road. I'm taking... I got a FIVA. The only thing that can break that fever is more... Cowbell, Scraby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Caitlin Clark three-pointers or something.
Yeah, I'll take the Fever here. Fever's playing great. Second half of the season. They've been on a roll. I'm going to stay with them. Vegas has been struggling to get it together. What do you think?
I'm going to take the Fever, too.
You're going
the Aces have been struggling.
They have. But one player on the Aces has not been struggling. That player would be Asia Wilson. Over under 26.5 points tonight for her. Scraby.
26.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go over.
I am too. She's been getting 30 regularly. Caitlin Clark's over-under is up to 22.5 now. I'm going under because she's playing a defending champion team that ought to know how to guard her a little tighter. My friend Kelsey Plum, not my friend, but Diego's own Kelsey Plum might be on the defensive assignment. I'll say under for Caitlin Clark here.
Under. I'm going to go over.
You're going to stay over.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see how that goes in, you know, when we reconvene tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., don't miss it. It's the roundtable, 97.3 The Fan's Padre roundtable. If you have reached, like, this point in the season without hearing a single roundtable, you know, where you been? Because the roundtable has been a big, big hit. And, you know, I get taught, people ask me more stuff about the roundtable than they do sometimes our show.
Really?
People love the roundtable. And it's an hour of commercial-free talk. It's from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. And all of us hosts are on the roundtable. So make sure you listen in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 11. It'll be nothing but Padre talk. For an hour, and you get everybody's opinion on all that.
How do you think it's going to go? Because you said a couple weeks ago it was like the Padres won the World Series.
Last week it was like they won the World Series. So if they win tonight, they'll have gone 3-3 since then. But if they lose tonight, they'll have gone 2-4 since then. And it could be a little tighter, you know, depending what the Braves do. If the Braves and win tonight, and the Padres lose, the Mets have already won. Yeah, that lead's going to be down to 1.5 games. And that round table is going to have a little bit of nerves to it.
I mean, we're in must-win season.
Yes, we are in crunch time, my friends.
Tony will never say must-win season. I said that yesterday, and he wouldn't like co-sign on that.
Well,
language.
One thing I agree with him on that. Must-win, honestly, is an overused phrase. The only time there is a real must-win is when if you lose, the season's over. Tonight's not a must-win.
No, you're right. Brandon says...
Tonight would really be nice to have, but it's not a must-win.
Brandon on the chat has a really good point. Last week was the day after the Fernando walk-off for the round table, and then the morning of the Suarez implosion. So you guys hadn't had the pain of the Suarez implosion, but you had the high of the Fernando walk-off.
We had the glory of everything last Thursday, yeah. We couldn't contain ourselves. We were so excited. It'll be interesting to hear the round table tomorrow at 10 a.m. It'll be interesting to hear some traffic now, and then more Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 324 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be right back with us. We're doing a fantasy sports court. Doesn't mean it's fake sports.
Yes.
It means it's sports court having to do with fantasy sports.
Yes.
That's coming up. And
people
are crazy, man. It's one week into the football thing, and people are already at war with each other over these results and, you know, all the stuff going on. We gotta help settle the issues.
Next to, say, politics, I believe fantasy sports is credited for most of friends breaking up. Because fantasy sports gets real serious when there's money on the line, when there's pride on the line.
You might be right.
I mean,
it's the only thing I can think of that people feel that strongly about. Like, you know, I don't want to be friends with you if that's your thinking.
Yeah. I had
messages.
I get that's why we're doing it today, because I got a bunch of messages. Most of them were the same. This guy did this.
Oh, people are irate after 1 week of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, I'll say.
Speaking of fantasy, if you want that kind of info, it's already started for the Dolphins. What? And you think I'm just bringing this up? No, this is newsworthy stuff. Raheem Mostert will not play Thursday against Buffalo, nor, it appears, may Devon Achane. So the Dolphins, last year, they waited till December for everybody to get hurt, and then they just fell apart. This year, they're starting in week two. Going to go against Buffalo with maybe no running backs.
Here's why I get mad at players for getting injured, and it's completely irrational.
A week into the season, they've already got two running backs on the sidelines.
It's all irrational fantasy-based anger. Mm-hmm. Devon Achane has been a great running back, but he always gets hurt all the time.
So far, that's the story with this guy.
I don't get how these guys get. I do get, because they're playing football, playing one of the most violent sports in the world.
That's part of it, but I think you're right. Some guys are just flat out tougher than other guys.
I don't know about tougher. They're just more injury prone. Like Devon Achane got rolled up on.
Shouldn't be out for a month, but he might be. They said he could play, but as I mentioned this, people are scurrying to their fantasy sports wires looking for Jeff Wilson and maybe I got another kid, Jalen Wright, I think, rookie running back a lot of people like. No, the Dolphins.
He's
supposed to be pretty good. Maybe they pick him up. But you fantasy people need to know this stuff. And no Mostert, and Achane is questionable for that Buffalo game. By the way, I'm kind of tired of losing to Buffalo personally. Lost 11 of 12 to Buffalo. And the only win the Dolphins had was like by a half a yard. Ran out after they did the butt punt.
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
And Josh Allen passed out in the field because he was so hot.
Ah. And Josh Allen kind of mismanaged the clock a little bit, and didn't get a last playoff. And so, yeah, Buffalo could have won that one easily. So Miami's, one of these days they'll beat Buffalo. I hope it's Thursday night, personally. We'll have the game for you on 97.3 The Fan. Here's one more thing, football-wise. 10 years ago, he spoke the following phrase to a nervous Green Bay Packer fan base. Do you remember, Scraby?
Is it?
R-E-L-A-X. That was 10 years ago, Aaron Rodgers. After the Packers started the season 1-2 at a press conference, he looked into the camera and he told everybody, R-E-L-A-X. That Packer team went 12-4 and reached the NFC Championship game. Here we are 10 years later. The Jets fans already need to hear that after 1 week.
Did you hear Sammy Lev yesterday?
Sammy Lev was ready to jump off the bandwagon forever. Lifelong Jets fan. Ah, they'll never win. They lost. Scraby won't like me to say this because he, you know, but they lost to the best team in football on the road.
Well, I'm fine with you saying
that. There's nothing wrong and embarrassing about that. Did the Jets play great? Not really, but they played a really good opponent. Now, if the Jets go into Tennessee this week and Rodgers plays a similar game and they play a similar game and get beat, then if I'm the Jets, I'm like, all right, time to panic. I can't panic after I lose to the best team in the league.
I get it. I do, but I also get the Jets fans' nervousness because they pretty much sold their franchise to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's okay.
So once Aaron Rodgers is done, 5 years of rebuilding to do.
No, that's fair. I mean, they're going to be terrible without him, just like they were last year. But this was his first game in 2 years. Even, you know, one of the greatest players ever might need a game or two.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Jets are overreacting and their fans. But Aaron Rodgers told everybody today to stay relaxed.
R-E-L-E-X.
So he revisited his famous phrase of 10 years ago. Thought that was kind of funny.
It is a little funny because I remember people being very, very angry about that whole thing with
the
Aaron
R-E-L-A-X?
Rodgers. Which at the time I was like, oh, calm down, Aaron Rodgers. But now I get it.
Yeah.
He's right.
Well, Joe Burrow also getting criticism.
He kind of should. They lost to the perceived worst team in the league.
And the reason he's getting criticism is because of your pal, Stefania Bell.
Oh, why?
She said that Joe Burrow's wrist injury may never heal properly.
I've heard her say it.
I believe
many times.
She said that.
I've heard her say it.
I don't think it's really up to Stefania to make that claim unless she's actually worked on Joe Burrow's wrist, which I don't think she has.
Fair point.
But Joe Burrow being asked all about it today. What's the problem? What's this? Can you throw? Joe Burrow told everybody to basically shut up. I'm fine.
Didn't seem like you were fine the other day.
No, he wasn't fine the other day. You're right about that. But
you know what the thing with Stefania Bell is? She must really believe it because she does not say things for
clicks. Not saying that she doesn't believe it. I'm just saying, how can you honestly do a medical evaluation of somebody that you've never actually looked at?
But what if she's like friends with the team doctors and they're talking and they give her
and
the
they tell her that? I really doubt.
I don't
they
think
would
they.
Tell
yeah,
her
you're
that.
Right. That's kind of bad
that
on their part because then she's going to report it to the entire world.
I'm working for the Bengals. I'm going to tell you that Joe Burrow is done.
Yeah, go on your radio show or your podcast and say that, please. Yeah, that was a stupid idea on my part.
Don't think that's going to work.
But you're right. That's my same criticism with every single Twitter doctor out there is that they have not actually worked with that player on their injury. So.
One more football note, then we'll get to the break and come back and do our fantasy sports court. Matt LaFleur was asked today if there's any possibility that Jordan Love, who suffered an MCL tear last Friday, could play this Sunday against the Colts. And he was not only asked that, he was given the opportunity to just shut the door completely. Like they said, if he's not playing, you know, is there any chance? And LaFleur said, yeah, I'd say it's still pretty open. Now, he's got to be lying.
He has to be.
There can't possibly. Again, here we are. Now, we're doing Stefania Bell.
True.
But it doesn't seem like a guy with a torn MCL could come back the next week and play. But Matt LaFleur is leaving it open. So, we'll see.
Hey, they're trying to get any sort of upper hand because they're in a bad spot without Jordan Love.
Yes, they got Malik Willis, who's never, I believe you told me, thrown for over 100 yards in a game.
And never thrown a touchdown pass.
And he's never thrown a touchdown pass.
And he fell down on his Hail Mary attempt on Friday. I was like, okay, here you go, Malik. You can throw a Hail Mary. You can feel good about it. No, he fell. He fell to the ground.
The only other guy they have is a Penn State veteran Sean Clifford.
Oh, they traded for Malik Willis because they weren't happy with Sean Clifford.
Well, I'm just saying. The Packers are in a lot of trouble, but Matt LaFleur is keeping the door open. If you believe him, then, you know, pick that game at your own peril.
Yes, at your own peril.
But
is right.
It's Colts and Packers, with or without, most likely without, Jordan Love.
Hey,
all right,
the lineup is out, Chris.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back. Your Padre lineup, we know one thing. It doesn't have Luis Camposano in it.
No.
He has been sent to AAA. More on that, more Padres and Fantasy Sports Court, Gwen and Chris. Oh, there we go. That sound means there's a lineup out.
It's in.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's one thing that's changed over the years, Scrabe.
Mm.
I mean, you know, all of you internet people out there, me and Twitter, the whole thing. But whoever got a baseball lineup until you tuned the game on TV and the guy told you the lineup?
It's true.
Never got the lineup 3 hours before the game.
You know what I was thinking about when I did, when I filled in for
Ever.
Sam? When I filled in for Sam on pregame, I didn't do the lineup during it. And I was like, should I be doing the lineup, or does everybody already know? I probably should be doing
everybody
the lineup.
Everybody cares about the lineup more than anything I've ever seen.
Well, as long, when it comes in late like this, Chris, I think this is because they're moving Jackson Merrill down to number three, Profar
moving
back
him up to
number six.
Three.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, up to number three.
Yeah, well, they didn't do any such thing.
No.
The lineup today is the exact same as it was yesterday.
Run it back.
Right on down to the positions. Arise DH, Tatis right field, Profar left, Machado third, Cronenworth second, Bogey short, Merrill center, Solano first, Higashioka catching. If you just tuned in, Camposano's been sent to the minor leagues. His really disappointing season, which kind of turned sour when he got hurt.
Yeah.
He was doing much better before he got hurt. Not, I mean, he wasn't going to the Hall of Fame, but he was, you know, certainly legit. Up until he got hurt, and when he came back and Higashioka had taken his job, it just hasn't worked for Camposano. Feel for the guy, but this is not time to feel for people. You've got to get the best lineup you can.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I saw Diaz last week against the Tigers hit three bullets in three at-bats. And, you know, guy can hit a little bit. So we'll see. Diaz is the backup. Higashioka's the starter.
This is a big offseason for Luis Camposano and the Padres because they've given it all they can give for the last, what, 3 years?
They've given him? Him, yeah, they've given him, you know, the opportunity.
Opportunity
you're right.
Is
it's
the right
there.
Word.
It was there, and it, you know, he didn't cash in on it for whatever reason. So, Padres, who did they call up again? There was some people this stuff. That I don't look as close. There's an outfielder they brought up.
Tom Cosgrove was one of them.
Cosgrove's the pitcher they brought up, but they brought up an outfielder to take.
Brandon Lockridge. So, and then they placed Martin Perez on the paternity list. And then Campy Del Paso.
This is nothing against Martin Perez. He's not the only one.
I think it's Perez.
Martin. It's nothing against Martin. But why don't you plan?
Okay, don't go down this road.
The baby in a month, other than the one where you might be going to the playoffs and World Series.
I don't know. I don't have any kids, but I believe sometimes it's a little bit of a surprise.
I'm okay. I'm with you there, but I also
are you one of the guys that don't agree with the paternity list?
I agree with the paternity list. I just, you know, right in the middle of the pennant race, I'm not really a fan of losing one of my better players.
Is he going to miss any time? I mean, when is he scheduled to pitch again? When did he last pitch? On Sunday?
He pitched in the Grand Slam game. That was Thursday.
He pitched on Thursday. Okay.
Last Thursday. So Friday, Saturday. I think he would have pitched tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, he is kind of hurting the team then.
Just saying.
I'm not going to hold it against him, though.
You're not going to hold
it
against him.
But it is kind of, I mean, the rotation right now you is kind of being put
these,
together.
You said correctly that these things can happen by accident. I will also say correctly that you can plan for such things. And you can lessen the chances of there being
okay.
A surprise. All right, this is not.
Yeah, let's go.
I know this is not sex ed 101. I get you. Perez was due to pitch Friday night, not tomorrow. There is no game tomorrow.
He'll be back by then.
But Friday night, he is listed against Logan Webb in San Francisco.
This is just an excuse to bring up Lockridge.
We'll see. I mean, either that or they're going to have to scramble the rotation a little bit. Let's get to traffic, and then Tony comes back in for some sports court stuff to settle. All right, it's time for a little sports court here. Tony Gwynn Jr. is on the bench, of course, in Seattle, and we're here in the Odyssey Palace Studios getting ready for... now, is this a fantasy sports court?
It's a fantasy sports court.
A mixture.
It's fantasy-based, but there is one question about what to do with a friend.
Okay, so these are all situations where you guys have some issue out there.
Yep.
A lot of times it's fantasy sports-related. Mm-hmm. We try to settle the issue. If neither Tony nor I can do it, we go to the ultimate...
decider.
The ultimate bailiff.
I'm not
there.
A bailiff. I'm a
you
judge.
You know better than a bailiff. And be happy you're that good.
Oh, wow. Wow.
All right. So, Scraby, go ahead and take us through these.
All right. Here we go. Whoops. That's the wrong one, guys. I meant to do actually this one if it's ever going to play. There we go.
All right.
Sorry about that. Everyone reacts to fantasy sports differently, but I have a friend that reacts more like a baby than I have ever encountered in my entire life. He was eliminated from our fantasy baseball league and has not stopped crying to me about it since. All he does is talk about how his team was so much better than what his record reflected, and he would win it all if he was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
His team is awful. He's been eliminated for like a month. I've had to listen to this dude for a month. I told him I don't really care. My girlfriend actually thinks I should schedule a bunch of texts to send at all hours of the night, complaining about my fantasy team to get him back. Chris, you're up first. Is it weird to think I want to stop being friends with this guy because of this?
No, I mean, you know, the way you pop off about the 49ers makes me want to stop being friends with you.
I knew this was going to come back to me somehow.
Totally.
I knew it.
I know friendships are, you know, come and go. A little bit. I hate to say that. You know, just because you're friends with somebody on something doesn't mean it always holds up. This guy would be driving me a little crazy at this point.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to sit him down at a breakfast, at a lunch, if he's a friend, and say, you know what? Scoreboard. Enough's enough. You didn't have it this season. We'll see you again next season. But honestly, I can't listen to it anymore.
You have to create a mandate to tell this guy?
I might create a mandate. I might get a sandwich out of it. Maybe he'll pay.
All right, Tony. Is it weird for this person to think they want to stop being friends with this guy because of this?
I mean, it just depends on how annoyed you are by it.
Sounds like he's really annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, clearly he is if he thinks he wants to give up his friendship. I mean, I would just remind this friend that your team wasn't that good, no matter how the names you had. I would constantly remind him, like, how bad his team actually was. Because the numbers say that he was eliminated how long ago? A month ago?
A month, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've been bad for a while. So, you know, I don't know. It's a delusional talk, it sounds like, from his friends. I would let him know that.
That's a good point.
Be straight up with this guy. Say you've had enough.
It's kind of like when Chris used to complain, like, hey, before I started playing your guys' league, I would win championships every single year. And now that I play in your guys' league, I just can't win anymore.
That got old after a while. And now I really don't go to that one anymore because it's
why do you have to disarm me? Why?
I don't ever know that you went to that one very often.
I went to it a couple of times, and then I realized how silly it sounded. I was trying to make myself feel better than, like,
true.
Why can't I win anymore? But no, it's
great.
Nobody
Gray
wants to hear
let
it.
You have that, huh?
No.
Who's more annoying, the guy who complains about their team being bad or the guy who gloats about their team being good, like me? Double Champ is here, Chris.
Yeah, have you changed the name of your football team to Double Champ is here
yet?
No,
that's only a fantasy baseball thing. Oh. I'm not a double champ in football.
Oh, my God.
All right, next one. We just allowed this new guy into our fantasy league. Oh, by the way, get rid of this guy as your friend. Just get rid of him.
Oh, that's your final analysis?
That's your final
analysis? Boot the guy out.
Boot him out.
Okay.
We just allowed this new guy into our fantasy league of almost 20 years. He had the number one pick in the draft and took Christian McCaffrey, and he's outraged about him being inactive Monday night. I will say this league has a big number attached to it in regards to winnings, and so I do understand the need to do what I'm about to tell you. This dude sent an email to the league asking to place a formal protest on his result from week one. Nerd alert. He proposes if the league punishes the 49ers for messing with the injury reports, he should be able to have Tony Pollard retroactively placed in CMC's spot, which would end up giving him the victory by a few points, only if the NFL punishes the 49ers. Tony, this person says they're stuck in the middle. What do you think?
I say this is a big old fat hang with him. Sorry. I mean, people ain't getting their money back for some of this stuff. So guess what? Rules apply to you too. Sorry. Like, this is, I appreciate the creativity with your, what was it, what did he send into the league?
A formal protest. Did he have a lawyer work on it for him? Listen, I
100% appreciate the creativity with the formal protest in a fantasy football league. But as league commissioner, I ain't got time for this.
This
ain't happening.
Yeah.
Chris?
You know my phrase, get out of my courtroom. This is no chance. He has a better chance of suing that lying sack of potatoes, Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
And trying to recoup his fantasy money for a guy lying and not giving him the information he needed. He has a better chance of winning that than he does of winning his fantasy football game.
Okay.
And he has very little chance of winning that. But he may feel better if he sends a letter in to Mr. Shanahan.
I don't think he's going to reach him. I don't know what to tell you, pal.
This I can say with all trueness. I've played fantasy football long. You talked about this with a 20-year league.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been playing for a lot more years than that. I have both won and lost games because of some situation like this over time. It probably will happen to everyone.
I would point back to the unfortunate incident with DeMar Hamlin because it canceled the Monday Night Football game in championship weeks, and there were many players that
did happen.
Hang with him on that one.
Yeah, you didn't get the points for Burrow. And
no,
others.
My friend still brings it up of like, I would have won the championship that year.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
All right.
Hang with him.
Life is bigger than fantasy still. Fantasy sports. Yeah.
Just like Scraby, I picked the Bengals in the Eliminator, and I am out. I can't believe I'm done after 1 week, and I propose you guys do a second chance for all the people who were eliminated in week one. The second chance teams would have to pick two a week to increase their chances of being eliminated a second time.
Oh, my goodness.
Chris, what do you think?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Have fun with it.
No, this is our league. This was from someone in our Eliminator
league. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, go ahead. Have you keep track of a separate pool.
I don't want to.
Well, then they're out of luck. That's what I thought. But
there it is.
I am still in the Eliminator pool. Tony is as well. My wife is in and others. So, you know, we did not pick that. And, you know, you remember my whole process because I brought the site out before week one, and I said, oh, man, the Bengals are the pick. And you remember what I said to you?
No.
I said to you, I'm not going to pick the Bengals because everyone's going to pick the Bengals. And what if they lose? I might be able to get a lot of people out. So there's some strategy there. Sorry, the Eliminator pool is what it is, and you are eliminated.
Humble brag over there.
A little bit of a humble brag because I might be out after week two. So I'm going to get it in while I can.
Tony, what do you think about this second chance idea?
It's crazy work.
No, I kind of like it in one sense, though. It's like three times the work for Scraby
to go in there and try and do this.
I can't even keep our show straight.
In the same way I felt for the commissioner having to deal with a formal protest for real, it's the same way I feel about Scraby having to do this extra work and who's in charge of this. So, bad idea across the board.
All right, last one real quick. Tony, is it disrespectful when people try and make lopsided trades with you?
This is a subliminal shot.
No. This is not for me. I promise you that.
Is it disrespectful?
Like, yeah.
No, they just get less of my time. Like, I deny that, and then when they want to send a series, when I'm less likely to like look at it, he's gonna have to like track me down and. He's just making it harder for himself, ultimately.
Chris is like the bloodhound of trade proposals.
Well, this year I've made a couple, but I want to answer your question by going back to a situation that happened to me in my fantasy baseball league last year. A guy made me, I thought, a very disrespectful trade proposal, and I wrote him back and told him so. He was not pleased. He thought I was an idiot because he thought he was offering enough. I'll be honest with you. This happened in like May or June of the baseball season. Me and this guy did not talk again the rest of the year.
Wow.
He didn't like me. I didn't like him. But here's what the funny thing was. By the end of the season, about four other five of the other players, regulars in our league, also couldn't stand this guy.
Ooh.
And at the end of the year, he was actually not asked to return. And so he's not in the league this year. My point is,
congratulations, you played yourself.
You played yourself a little bit. Don't be making stupid trade proposals, because people, I think, do take it a little personally. Because the suggestion is that you're not very smart.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm offering you, Gavin Lux for Aaron Judge. And I mean,
that's a fair trade.
Well, no, it isn't. And so, you know, if you're thinking I might do that, you must think I'm stupid. So there is a little emotion in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. That is it for sport or fantasy sports for today.
Very good. When we come back, we'll go to some real Chris versus the fans. You can play trivia, maybe find yourself on your way to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. Call in to play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.